Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everybody. This is Lou Shoup here with this latest edition of the WTFF Files with Louis Shoup. There's an extra F in there. The extra F would be for flying, but we're not going to fly too far today. Today's show is basically dedicated to the Allentown, Pennsylvania area, where I have recently announced my intention to seek out an independent-based candidacy for Allentown City Council. I've been involved here in Allentown for at least several years now, going all the way back, I think, to 2015, when Robert Trotner and I had approached Allentown City Council in an attempt to get them to pass a anti-corruption resolution, not an actual law. And shortly after that was turned down is when I started filming and streaming the Allentown City Council meeting. The majority of them are, in fact, on YouTube on an address I had posted in various places. And eventually I switched over to Facebook. All this came to a stop when COVID came to town last March, when I was informed at that time that I would no longer be permitted to come inside to stream the meetings. And so for the past year and some after that, I watched the meetings almost every week. There's a couple times I didn't attend. But for the most part, I did watch, and I was extremely disappointed by the quality of the streams themselves. Now, the cameras that were set up in the chamber of the Allentown City Council were set up in such a way that they were not movable. They seemed to have a capture type microphone system where the camera that detected what seemed to be the proper person speaking would zero in on that person. And under normal circumstances, it worked quite well. But these are not normal circumstances in the past year. And so it was fluttering around constantly with social distancing being enabled. And that's another thing. Social distancing didn't always work. There are some occasions when I even quoted it on Facebook how some people would refuse to wear a mask and others got too close. And that's all pretty much water under the bridge at this moment. And in fact, I hear sometime soon I may be allowed back in as a spectator. But I'm not interested in being a spectator anymore. I'm interested in acquiring a position on Allentown City Council as an independent candidate, not Democrat or Republican. Before I go much further, I'm going to put out a little disclaimer here. My beef with the parties really has no local basis here in Allentown. I don't blame the local Democratic Committee or the local Republican Committee for most of what I'm about to talk about and most of what I have been talking about, more than I am the National Democratic Committee and the National Republican Committee in particular. They both whip their people. And by whip, I mean they whip the serving politicians in line to perform nationalized functions and nationalized agendas. Okay, it was not relative. That message came up on Facebook, not relative to this broadcast. Back to what I was saying, though, most candidates and most people out there, believe it or not, are being whipped into compliance, and they don't see they can't see it because they're inside the system. They don't see all the bovine manure, more so on the Republican side because, well, Trump lied, people died. But back to the local thing here. I recently announced how I might be able to help scale back that 27% tax hike that unfortunately was brought into play a couple of years back, and I was in on that meeting, and I watched how the political play at the time stretched on until just before midnight, before the budget passed and the tax cut, or the tax hike, the 27% tax hike passed. The primary way that I think so far that we can scale back this tax hike is the idea of taking the Lehigh County Dam, which was originally known as the Frank Memorial Dam, Samuel W. Frank Memorial Dam. It was dedicated somewhere around May 11th, 1985 by Mayor Joseph DeDona. And somehow between 1985 and what was this date here? It was the beginning of last year, just before the COVID started. It was a meeting I had attended. And they had just discovered that Allentown was in fact responsible for this dam. They thought the state owned it, and there's a lot of confusion going back here for this. It was former Councilman Courtney Robinson, in fact, who in December 2019 proposed a budget amendment earmarking $29,000 more for a structural assessment of the dam. And at that meeting, I was there. I didn't read the article myself later on because I was there, but they actually quoted me at the time. Towards the end of the article, and I'll post this later to Let's Build, I had suggested the city add the dam to the Neighborhood Improvement Zone Tax Incentive District and build the hydroelectric plant there using money from the NIS. And that's something I kind of like the idea of now, because this past winter, I watched online. I watch a lot of things online since I got my site back, but more so in the bigger Allentown group. And people were complaining about how snow management was terrible, how Ray O'Connell was not out there plowing snow like our former mayor, the crooked one, did at the time. And I got to thinking, there were some things I saw on other local Allentown groups suggesting that 100 years or so ago, Allentown had a system of steam vents and steam pipes in Allentown that were used to melt the snow on the sidewalk and particularly on certain roads like on Hamilton Street, for example. And I'm like, why can't we do that again? The trick is how. This hydroelectric plant, if it were built using NIS funds on the Lehigh Dam itself, I predict would do such a thing. The electricity can be diverted, for example, towards heating elements embedded in the sidewalk and embedded in certain streets, mostly throughways and such at first, but that can be expanded over a long period of time. If there's anything I've known since being in Allentown on and off since 1969 is that there's always road work going on somewhere. And long term, the infrastructure can be put in to take this electricity, branch it off from that hydroelectric station, and use that in great times of need to help melt the snow under the road and under the sidewalks. Pretty much like what used to happen in front of the PP&L building at 9th and Hamilton. They used to have elements buried into the sidewalk that would raise the temperature of the sidewalk above freezing and cause the snow to melt. But wait, there's also more. If I recall correctly, PP&L is generally forced to purchase electricity from people who generate it and feed it back into the grid. Now imagine, if you will, this hydroelectric station being built somewhere down the road, and it's generating electricity, and it's being sold by law to PP&L Energy, and the money is flowing back into the city coffers. Well, guess what? With I don't have the exact figure off the top of my head, but with all that electricity being generated, why not take some of that money, put it back into city coffers, and then take the tax liabilities, from especially from that 27% tax hike, and lower the taxes, and in particular for the people in the city of Allentown who don't have that much money to spend on tax, senior citizens and such, who own their houses and such, and only have so much to pay, they could be first in line for such a tax break. Building this hydroelectric station, however, is going to require a major interruption. I understand J.B. Riley might be a little bit perturbed that all his construction projects might be affected, as well as Jandal, who is developing the Allentown waterfront as I speak. But let me ask you this. This idea is going to take a long time to implement. I am certainly not qualified to do this by myself. But since this one article was published, since the article that I was mentioned in, it was published on the morning call January 4th, 2020, and I'm pretty sure I posted it at the time, and I'll post it again later on. Even Candida Alpha said that's a, let's see here, hey, that's not a bad idea, she said at the time. Council voted at that time 5-2 to allocate the additional $29,000 to the dam fund. McLean and Gurdy voted against it at the time. Why? I don't know. But even so, that's up and running now. But when is this going to get started? I haven't seen this idea move at all in the past year. I've not pressed the issue myself, but I can't help but wonder if I would have more leverage, if that is the correct word, if I were in fact on council, if I were in fact behind all those extra closed door sessions where the public is not generally allowed. This hasn't moved so far, and I think I can do a whole lot better job inside of it than outside of it. Now, I'm not the first fellow who proposed this. Back in May 16th, 2013, Emily Opilo wrote an article about how other firms have tried to bring the concept of a hydroelectric facility on the Lehigh River, starting with this company called Hamilton Street Hydro LLC of Boulder, Colorado. I'm going to guess not much came out of that. That's the article that suggested their facility, as designed, would generate 9.635 gigawatt hours of electricity annually, enough to power about 800 homes for a year. Now, that electricity, for the most part, could be sold back to PP&L, and that money put back into the coffers in Allentown, thereby giving Allentown a nice big revenue stream that can offset the tax increase and put that and bring the tax burden down. Although, on the bad side of it, Allentown School District also has its own tax issues, which they may be first in line to try a bigger tax hike. I hope they don't do it, but the money's got to come somewhere. That is beyond my capability for this show today. I'm not going to talk too much about the Allentown School District. I'm not a member. I've never gone to an Allentown school, but they need money, and that's a whole nother ballgame. That's for another time even. But long story short, I think that in a longer-term scheme of things, if I were behind the dais, I could do a lot more than I can on this side of the dais. Why? Because so far everything I've suggested has not worked. They have not considered anything. For example, since 1969, when I was like 6 years old here in Allentown, I live with my mom and my dad on Ho Street in Allentown. Yes, H-O-E. Keep in mind, please, this is the city where some of the main streets are turned to front and chew. But beyond that, shortly after I stayed with my mom and dad there, my first bicycle was stolen. And almost every bicycle I have had ever since, in fact, has that. A couple of them I've gotten back over the years, but I also remember bicycle registration, which was real popular back in the day. And at some point over the years, it fell out of favor. Nobody used it. Allentown pretty much passed over the idea. And even several years ago, I had a Golden Trek mountain bike here in front of my office. It was locked up properly. It had cameras. City cameras were pointing at it more or less, and nobody saw a thing. It wasn't registered. There was no option to register it. And I made suggestion to several council members over the years about bringing that bicycle registration law back. So far, all I heard are crickets. About as many crickets I heard when Robert and I tried to bring in a version of the American Anti-Corruption Act, even a resolution to this subject. So that didn't work. This can change, I feel, if in fact I am directly elected. There are others out there. If you're listening, you know, please don't be afraid to speak up and say something. But there's more. Let's see. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I'm going over my notes. Give me a moment here. I'm terrible with notes. I tried to do something here earlier today with Facebook, but it didn't work out because I'm suffering from connectile dysfunction. Guess what that means? I'm having trouble connecting. Let's see. Then there's another issue that's coming up, which seems to be dead in the water, and it's something I actually covered recently. I shot video a couple months back and took several pictures from this homeless village initiative that other people are starting up. I had questions about that, to my current knowledge, are still fairly unanswered. The questions, I'm open to the idea in general of establishing a home village, a homeless village, rather, for homeless people. Security is a big concern because, well, shit can happen in a tent city. We've all heard various tales recently about tent city, and I heard Jim Martin is supposed to be investigating that, and so far haven't heard back from Jim Martin. But it's like plumbing where shit happens. Shit is going to happen in a situation like that. And security inside a homeless village is going to be a big concern. I don't think I've gotten my answers yet. And I could be wrong, but I don't think anybody else sitting on council has gotten their answers yet. I'd like to explore that option more in the near future. And again, if I were actually elected to city council, I feel as if I would have more leverage for this purpose. Let me take a look here. There's lots of other things I can talk about. Nobody chat a message yet. Oh, no, dead air. Help me, help me, help me. Don't help me. It's not it. Let's see. Machine is moving extra slow today. Don't know why. So, yeah, that's one of the big things there. Let me talk about the group that I had been for a moment. Let's build a new Allentown together. Robert and I had started up that group back in the day, 2015, around the same time. The idea back then was to help move forward all the corruption bovine manure that our former mayor, Ed Pawlowski, was involved in. And eventually, I took over the day-to-day operations, even though I was day-to-day behind the scenes. I mentioned at various times my very first post on realchange.us, and that first post involves the concept of a direct democracy where the people themselves would get together and debate political issues of the day. That's one of the reasons why I stuck with Let's Build, and I actually managed several other groups, some local, some not, and I watch these every day. I don't post every day, and it may go on for days and days that you may not see me like or post anything on Facebook, but I promise you, I'm there every day. I'm watching all the groups that I'm in every day, in particular the bigger Allentown group and the other Allentown groups, and even some places where, let's just say I'm not using my name because I like to watch everything. My business is overwatchconsulting.com, where I'm a private contractor. I watch everything. And with my regifted sight, it's an amazing talent to be able to see a computer from across the room and instantly comprehend that. I love that. I wish that was I wish my eyesight was that good back in the day when I used to work for the telcos and when I used to teach in a corporate environment. And I may even do that again sometime soon. We'll see. But I watch, and I watch what people talk about. And winter in particular, when we got the, some of that big snow, everybody was complaining about how all the alleys were last to be cleaned out, how the city was prioritizing right-of-ways first, which is understandable to a point. But again, people were complaining. And I've seen these complaints before. I've seen them the year before. I've seen them in one year when there was no snow all winter long except for 36 inches of snow in one day. And people were griping about it then. And you know what's going to happen next winter? People are going to gripe about the snow. We're going to get a big snow, and streets are going to get clogged up. It happens every year. Back in 93, I lived on Park Street in Allentown near 7th and Tillman, and my van was stuck there for 3 weeks because nobody plowed Park Street. There was like 2 or 3 feet of snow in the street. Nobody did anything. And I had to wait in order to shovel my car out and get out to the street to where I can drive my van and go on from there. But if this idea of the hydroelectric station can be implemented, I'm telling you, in a long-term scheme of things, this can benefit Allentown. It can lower the taxes, and it can provide the electrical power needed to melt the snow at strategic places and at strategic times. One of the places I'd like to see the heated sidewalks up, for example, would be right along Hamilton Street, the main street here in Allentown that used to have canopies on it until some idiot in the past decided to get rid of them. I love the canopies. I miss the canopies. Would like to see that come back, but the heated sidewalks would be even better in a way because it could be usable as a tourist draw. There are other cities, mostly in the north, for example, and especially up in Canada and Alberta, there are cities up there that have implemented both electric and steam-powered snow melt systems. Allentown used to have one 100 years ago. What the hell happened? Well, one of the things that might have happened, I speculate, is the fact that the fuel had to come from somewhere. More than likely, that was coming down from the coal country. That pollutes. That would be not a very good idea. I remember some years back, Delta Thermo came to town and sold some people on the idea of a garbage incinerator located on Klein Island. And I spoke up about that at the time, too, suggesting that that garbage incinerator would have blown all that smoke into East Allentown. So luckily, that project fell by the wayside because if it didn't, the whole east side of Allentown would be under a fog of pollution. So, yeah, that's a good thing. So coal, bad. But hydroelectric, good. That hydroelectric energy, depending on how it's constructed, if there's a steam generation option that could be built into the Archimedes screw, that's a design functionality, and in fact, it would take a long time, at least a while, to study this and to see if it can be done in an economical fashion, whether it would be more economical for steam generation or electrical generation, as well as the return on investment. This is something that the NIS, in my humble opinion, could be ideally suited for, because we're already taking this money that would normally go to the state, and this is being used by real estate investors, mostly J.B. Riley, but there's others as well. And what if this money is used for the benefit of all people, not just the rich, not just the powerful, not just to continue the gentrification of Allentown, where apartments and houses are going for $1,200 a month and up? Damn, that is expensive. Believe it or not, I'm homeless, okay? I've been homeless here in Allentown for at least 10 years. When I came back 10 years ago, I was basically blind. And it was extremely difficult for me to operate a computer or to do anything with a computer for that matter. But I'm not blind anymore. 3 years ago, I got my sight back. However, trying to get a job as a 58-year-old man has proven a bit problematic because nobody wants to hire an old man with health issues. So I do what I do, and I'm surviving, but needs to be better, and I need to apply my skills in a more efficient, perhaps, and goal-oriented manner in line with my own long-term goals, which involves the city of Allentown. So, to continue on, Granicus, there's something I can talk about. Granicus is the system that allows Allentown City Council to stream some meetings. Not all. They also tend to use Microsoft Teams. Microsoft. I could speak about that too. But the Granicus thing has got to be redone. When I was streaming, at the time I was streaming to Facebook, I would get pop-ups every now and then. I would get pop-up messages to please ask somebody to say this or to say that. And sometimes I would be able to do that, but sometimes I couldn't. And that was a deficiency in the way Facebook operates. And I could complain about Facebook all day. In fact, I've been complaining about Facebook forever. One of the reasons I can't do the Facebook stream today is because roughly 6 months ago, they came out with their new Facebook layout, graphical user interface, GUI, if you would have it. But this GUI consumes more RAM on a particular computer. My computer that I'm using here is an older Dell Latitude laptop, not as old as my others, but it's old enough so that it has a RAM limitation of 8 gigabytes of RAM. Can't put no more in there. Wish I could. Checked it out lots of times. I'll have a new machine to do this with next week. But the point being that Facebook Live won't work because the code base for the artificial intelligence that they're using to power this GUI is so damn convoluted and bloated as to make the computer slow down and clog up. It's a bigger clogger even than AOL Instant Computer Clogger, which used to clog up older computers back in the day, and probably more so nowadays. Nevertheless, there's got to be a middle bridge somewhere with Granicus, because Granicus has potential. One of the things I could not do with my Facebook stream that Granicus can is posting the bills to be discussed, to post the agenda in an iframe on the right-hand side, and the video and the audio, which the audio could be a lot better with Granicus, but they would host that on the left-hand side. I like that. What I'd like to see, if I were capable of providing leverage against the Granicus, because I don't think they want to hear from me. I am their competition. I don't want to be their competition. I would actually like to help them. Maybe even back on the back end. I saw the hardware that Mike Moore showed me one night in the closet outside of council chambers. But I'd like to see this Granicus be more Facebook friendly. If the stream can be directly broadcasted to Facebook, not necessarily in Let's Build a New Allentown Together, although that would be swell, perhaps more even in a dedicated feed. This is something I would have to converse with as far as Granicus goes, as far as the technical details, and maybe a few other people I know with Facebook who's on the technical details. But if this were streamed to Facebook with a mechanism for events such as Courtesy of the Floor to happen live in real time, remotely, in addition to whoever shows up inside the meeting. That way, people on Facebook, for whatever reason, who couldn't make it to the meeting that night, could simply come on and say, "Hi, I'd like to say a few words about blah, 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 blah," and rattle off that way. There's a couple of other enhancements to that as well, mostly liability enhancements. Mike, I know you're doing a hell of a job there. You're trying real hard with the stream and such, but sometimes you either don't start on time, and I'm forever refreshing the page to see when you actually start the meeting, and then I start the meeting, and it's already like 3 or 4 minutes in, okay? Or once or twice, you've actually had a hot mic on there where you've left it alone at the end of the broadcast and nothing happened. Or another thing I used to do when I would stream is in the case of multiple meetings that one would run behind the other, I would leave the stream on in between meetings because there was virtually no time in between the meeting, between one meeting ending and another meeting beginning, because it would take at least a minute to set up the stream. So sometimes I would leave it run so that people would catch as much of the official action as possible. And when the meeting was done, when Julio would say meeting is adjourned, I would end it right there. That way I don't catch anybody with a hot mic doing things. And I've caught more than a few people doing things that would have been questionable if I had broadcast it. Never said it before, not going to say it now. It's academic. I'd like to see some type of auto control in control, not so much from Mike, but put in the hands of the president of the Allentown City Council or whoever is in control of the meeting itself. That way that person could push a button, whether real or virtual, and the stream would start. It would load everything up, and the agenda would be up there, and everything else. And then when the meeting is over, that person could press end. That, I think, would work better than either the way Granicus does it now or with the way I did it. I hope Facebook is listening to this, and I may even point them out later. But Facebook, you got to work with me here. Your code is bloated. I've been telling you for years. I just told the head of Facebook security today that they have to stop using Tor to close down their Tor bridge that they have. Back in 2014, set up a Tor bridge where people using the Tor network, or known as the Onion Router, would be able to securely access their Facebook account over an insecure connection. Back in the day, it was wildly thought that academics and journalists in countries where Facebook is censored would be able to use that to log into their Facebook. But the problem there has become that all kinds of bad actors, both foreign and American, use that and abuse that privilege and abuse that capability to pull all kinds of bovine manure against Facebook and against the common good. And, well, like I said, I told them that today, but I have extreme doubts as to whether they'll do that or not. We'll see in the coming days. Let's see. Anybody come to the chat yet? No? No, but I do see some postings here and there. There's a chat window on here. I forgot about that. New feature in the Blog Talk Radio interface. Going to try that now. See if anybody here has a chat. Or if anybody would like to call in and they're listening, the call-in number is area code 516-418-5841. I will take callers now. You're welcome to call in. If you have any questions about what I'm doing or what I intend, there's the chat window coming up. i5 at 2.6 gigahertz, 8 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM, and this machine is as slow as molasses in January. Wow. Yeah, I need a better machine. And just now, my group comes up. Let's build a new Allentown. I click the link. Our future, I hope will be our future mayor, Matt Turk, has posted on there. I like Matt. Matt and I have known each other for several years. He has done some great things with the Allentown Economic Development Corporation, and I look forward to seeing and working with Matt here in Allentown. He talks about he got to look at his impact on Cedar Beach. I've not been to Cedar Beach, but I do see they have some flooding issues. Cedar Beach is another story. The pool down there took millions of dollars more. They got it open, yet it still floods. It needs other things. Matt is right. It needs work. I look forward, like I said, to talking with him and working with him. I so far don't have a chat up, though. I have one speaker type a message. I'm going to type a message. This chat window should be available from the Blog Talk Radio page on blogtalkradio.com. I don't think this is going to be available on realchange.us, which is my site. It has been my site for at least the past 10 years. Guess I can take a look. Can I? Let's see. Oh, I got another window here. I got another computer. I have many computers, most of them slow as molasses in January, but the Phenom is not bad. Let's see. Come on. Wiggle the mouse. Wiggle the mouse. There we go. Now, slide out the drawer. I have to take a look at this because I can't take a look at this any other time while I'm doing the show, unless I do a private show. And the answer to that is no, it's not on there right now. So I'm going to guess, based on some recent work I've done to the site, that the stream that I'm doing now will be available on that site after this show ends. And I'm hoping that will work. We'll find out when the time comes. Let's see. La-di-da-di-da. Okay, so no callers. No chat. At least not yet. I feel lonely. That's okay. We'll work it out. Give me a moment here. Machine is slow as molasses in January. I would like to speak about the morning call for a few moments. The morning call is the main newspaper in the series of Allentown, and they've been going through some issues recently. They have this venture capitalist fund recently trying to take them over. And this venture capitalist fund has a tendency to gut newspapers and make them basically former shells of themselves. I like the Morning Call more than I might WFMZ, otherwise known as the Family Minded Zone. But the Morning Call has issues. It has other issues that I've never spoken about before, and I'm going to speak about them now. They have the capability of helping any type of direct democracy initiative and or local politics in general by reporting on the political issues of the day. They need money in order to do these things, and I can't blame them for that. But I have to question some of the things that they do. I understand they're desperate for money, and so they got various partners with various sites. And I use a program. I've mentioned this other times in other places. I use a program on my computer, a Firefox plugin called NoScript. What this does is it blocks every script from a particular web page in order to prevent the potential for a cross-site scripting attack when a third party would get loaded into an iframe and they could use a browser vulnerability to perform a drive-by download and basically put a virus on your computer without any intervention or knowledge of the person. So I use that to block almost all of the extra websites that the Morning Call downloads, as well as Facebook and a few others. But the other day, they made a coding change, or Firefox might have made a coding change on my smartphone, where all the ads started showing up. It blocks ads. It blocks other third-party content. And tuned correctly, it does work for the most part to allow me to read the Morning Call without obtrusive ads. But the other day, I looked, and I saw no fewer than 50 separate websites trying to load content into a Morning Call article. Now, a majority of those websites, from what I saw, are pixel loaded, basically. They put a one-by-one pixel into the page, and they use that as like a tracking beacon. They use this here as opposed to cookies, which cookie technology is actually quite old and performed the same function 20 years ago. But they use these tracking beacons to track the particular user. I couldn't believe my sight when I saw that they have 50 of them. Now, like I said before, I understand that the Morning Call has to generate money. They have some very good reporters that deserve to be well paid for their gigs, but I question these partnerships and all this advertising. And in fact, I had mentioned before, although I haven't seen it recently, last year I remember seeing that the Morning Call would actually lead a person to a malicious website. This was not their fault. More often than not, this happens with third-party advertising providers that either get taken over or are legitimately used, all right, and then code uploaded to that third-party advertising server to inject their malicious code into another page, like, say, the Morning Call or some other newspaper that uses that specific third-party advertising site. These third-party advertising sites, they do a lot of different damages on the internet, and it would be really swell if another way could be figured out for the Morning Call to do its job. One idea I've had some time back that I have not mentioned is for the Fourth Estate, literally the Fourth Estate, in a local capacity, say the Morning Call Guild, can form a 501c3 or 4 charitable organization where they would be able to accept donations and perform other activities to financially survive while being able to perform the normal functions of a computer. I'm sorry, not a computer, of a local newspaper. That means accepting and publishing local advertisements. That means accepting and publishing local classified advertisements. By law, for example, by Pennsylvania law, the Morning Call and other local newspapers have to publish legal notices, for example, and public notices and auction notices and such. You can't always get that from Craigslist. And Facebook, as it is now, is not suitable for that purpose. Because remember what I said about third-party adware and third-party bloat? Well, guess what? Facebook has been wallowing in it like a pig in shit. They've been doing this ever since they've been invented. But now with their artificial intelligence more bloated now than ever, this is why earlier today I posted on there, hey, I'm safe from making myself a cartoon. Have you ever read the privacy notice to some of those sites? They have third-party advertisers coming in that can monitor any of your pictures or any of your postings. And since you use their service, you automatically opt into that. People really need to study that more carefully. But yeah, back to the original idea. The Morning Call, if the Morning Call could separate themselves or check into the idea of a self-formation of a 501c3 or a 501c4, depending on what the lawyer says. Now, depending on the path they take with the IRS, they may be able to do such things as investment activities. Say, for example, they could, and I'm saying hypothetically, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not pretending to be one, but what if they had a business where they could, they had their own printer like they used to, and they would take that printer and they would print other things for other people, okay? Paper is still valid out there. There's magazines that people actually use yet. There's actually books out there. And if they could get the right equipment and the right presses, okay, not only will they be able to print their newspaper locally, all right, but they would be able to use the infrastructure from that printing assembly to make money. Same thing when they go online. Rather than using all these 50-some different third-party rip-off sites that inject all kinds of nasty web traffic into your browser, if they host their own content rather than using a cloud provider. They can talk to me about it. I've been hosting my own content long before it was cool, okay? I think the first time was like 96 when I hosted my first web server, and I was hosting them a lot back in the day. I used to be a committer for the Apache Foundation before Blind Disk kicked in back in the day. And I was a committer as well for various other open source projects, and I may be again. But the point being, if the reformed Morning Call, having formed itself as a 501c3 organization, would be able to use money-generating activities, the printer shop would be one, their hosting would be another. It's not hard to host your own content. All you need is a fat pipe. Allentown has Fios downtown. I love Fios. I was at a friend's house last night, tested their Fios connection. 600 meg down, 800 meg up. That's more than good enough to run a simple web server, where the Morning Call can go directly with a static IP address. I don't know what Fios charges for a static IP address. And it might vary if it's IPv4 versus IPv6. But they could host their own content. And if they invest in the infrastructure, they can host other people too. I host content from other people. I host other websites. Although nowadays, my hosting provider is online. It's in the cloud. It's based somewhere in a distant part of the internet. And I host about 20 or 30 websites for other people. This is not hard. I'm telling you, this is not hard. The morning call can do this. They can build an infrastructure and charge other people money to host there. Other sources of revenue streams can be investigated once the morning call were to take that that leap to become pendant. They don't need the cloud. They don't need all that third-party bovine manure that they've got now. They can advertise locally, and they can do this in a manner that does not endanger the local readers, something which, whether they want to admit it or not, has happened, although I'll admit I have not seen that recently, but I have posted about it before. So, still no texting, still no no telephone, still no chat. So I think I'm going to leave off here momentarily. There's going to be some activities here in the near future. If you stuck around to this far, thank you for not falling asleep. I would ask you to keep an eye on my Facebook page as, or my Facebook account, as well as the local groups that I deal with. I'm going to be hosting a couple of events both here at the office and at local places in the near future where I'm going to be asking for signatures. And that's the interesting thing here. This is I've never run a campaign this far before. And my last success, 1979, when I ran for student council at Liberty High School over in Bethlehem, I attended that for 1 year. And I was on the student council there. And despite my newness, I was actually, I garnered the third most votes in my entire grade. I thought I did pretty good back then. But this is the most I've done actually since then. I've tried a couple other things, didn't work as intended. But like I said, in the near future, I'm going to host events where I will be collecting signatures. I need to collect the barest minimum of 197 survivable signatures in order to be placed on the ballot this November. I've got a couple months, a little less than a couple of months to perform that. And with your help, I hope to succeed. So I guess I'm going to give up here in a moment. I don't see anybody calling in. There will be other shows down the road. I will be announcing them in the near future as things go on. And there will be other editions of the WTF Files where I may talk about other things on my agenda. For example, I'm big on voting machines. I'm big on hacking voting machines. I don't want my work to be caught up with that idiot that left the White House who's trying to grip at any straw he can to hold on to them. For example, one point of my current research is how RF can be used to screw with a voting machine. And I'm going to be talking about that in the coming days and weeks. There's other issues I'm going to be discussing as well. And it's pretty much going to be on a fly. I intend to do at least 1 hour-long show every Sunday. And in fact, I'm going to be doing an hour-long show next Sunday as a special for Father's Day. I will be explaining at that time that I'm still homeless here in Allentown. I've been homeless for 10 years now, and I'm still homeless. And I'm not even sure I would want to get a home here in Allentown paying $1,200 a month. That kind of money hurts. But we'll talk about that then. Keep an eye out on my pages. Keep an eye out on realchange.us because I may post things there instantly and or in a hurry. If you've made it this long, thank you for not falling asleep. And please get in touch with me. If you like what you hear, if you like what I'm talking about, if you believe in the potential of my mission here in Allentown, please don't hesitate to get a hold of me. With that, I'm going to end this for now. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice day.